Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You may be seated. I couldn't take my eyes off of my bride. As she walked toward me down the aisle, I saw her and only her. I mean, the scene was magnificent. There was a beautiful violin playing in the balcony. The groomsmen were charming, especially Merv. The bridesmaids were beautiful, but through it all, I only saw one thing. My future wife, Valerie. I struggled to hold my emotions in. I wanted to jump for joy. I wanted to giggle with glee. And through all the wonderful things that happened that day, I only remember one thing. Her. And it was wonderful. You know, that's not the only wonderful memory I've had in this sanctuary, though. About 7 years before that day, the organ was bellowing good old Lutheran hymns. My pastors were standing a little taller and prouder that day, and about 20 eighth graders strolled in with robes of white. As I approached the communion rail, I could hear my pastor's words welcoming us to the Lord's table. One by one, our pastors came to us. Jenna, this is the body of Christ given for you. Matthew, this is the body of Christ given for you. And then they came to me. My heart raced as my pastor said those words. Peter, this is the body of Christ given for you. I remember in that moment, all I could think about was my Savior's death and resurrection for me. All I could think about was in this moment, Jesus was coming to me in his very body and blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. What a joy. What a blessing. What a wonderful day that I've had here at St. John. And you know, as wonderful as those days were, and as focused as I was on those days, you know, on some days, I become distracted from the things I love. I become distracted from the people that I love. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love my wife, and I love my Lord. But there are days where I choose the lesser. I get distracted, I lose my focus, and I choose something less. Let me give you this example. A few weeks back, I was at home, my apartment. And after I had raided the refrigerator for snacks, I plopped down on the couch to watch baseball. Now, some of you might know, my team doesn't win very often. And on this day, we were only down one run in the eighth inning, and we had a runner on second. I was so excited. I was locked into that television screen, and my wife, Valerie, comes up to me and asks a sweet question. She asked me, "Honey, what would you like for dinner?" Anyway, so we have a runner on second, and Soriano's coming to the plate. If we get a good hit, we can tie this game up. And then she asked me again, "Honey, I was wondering what you'd like me to make you for dinner." Anyway, I got a runner on second. We can win this game. And then she asked me the third time, "I'm sorry to interrupt your baseball game, but I was wondering what I could make you for dinner." And that's when I snapped. "Can't you see that I'm trying to watch baseball?" You know, it was bad enough that I was ignoring my wife, that I wasn't listening to that great blessing from God. But on top of it, I got mad at her. What was I thinking? Let me give you another example. We have chapel every week, every day at Concordia Seminary where I go to school. And on Wednesdays, we get to have communion. It's such a joy. And on a particular Wednesday, I can remember that after the sermon and after the creed, the pastor started in those familiar words, "Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it." But by that time, my mind wasn't on those words. My eyes weren't even up front. In fact, I was looking at a pew next to me, and I was thinking, "What is that guy wearing? What is he wearing to chapel? Doesn't he know some respect?" And also, I was thinking, "Man, she sure lets her kids squirm around a lot in the pew. If I was their dad, they'd know some discipline." And I'm ashamed to tell you, I was thinking, I wonder if there's a baseball game on today. You know, it would have been bad enough that I was ignoring those sweet and gracious words of my Savior, but on top of it, I was thinking evil thoughts towards my neighbors. My eyes were not in the right place. My ears had shut off, and I had chose something less. When I think about days like those days, I am greatly troubled. I am greatly troubled. And you know what? I see the same phenomena happening with my friends, my family, and even in many of you. That although we know God, although we love God, we choose something less. We get distracted, we lose our focus, and we choose something less. Now, I'd like to stand before you today and tell you, you know what? That's okay. You know what? Even seminarians do that. But to tell you that it's okay, to tell you that it's okay to become distracted from God, to choose things that are against God, to choose wicked things, would be a lie. It would be wrong to tell you that. It is not okay. It is not okay when we ignore God in our lives. It is not okay when we become distracted from God and choose lesser things. In fact, Colossians tells us today that against such things, against when we become distracted and choose those lesser things, against sin, the wrath of God is coming. Now, many people do not understand what the wrath of God would be. But the wrath of God is destruction like the world has never known. Because of sin, the wrath of God is coming. Make no mistake about it. And personally, at times, that makes me feel very uncomfortable. How then will I be saved? How then will I be saved who so easily becomes distracted from the people that I love, from the things that I love, and most importantly, so easily becomes distracted from the God I love? Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus Christ came down to earth with a mission, with a goal. He had you in his mind. He loves you, and he knew you from eternity, and he knew what had to be done. He came to earth, and he would not stray from exactly what had to be done because he loves you. Jesus Christ loves you, and he died on the cross, soaking up God's wrath for you. You see, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you, and he does not become distracted. He does not lose focus, but you are ever in his mind, all the time. And I tell you the truth, trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you have eternal life. I say it again, believe in Jesus, and you have eternal life. There's a third wonderful day that happened in a church much like this that I think about often. And this third wonderful day, my parents carried me into the church and handed me to the pastor. I was 8 days old. They held me over a font much like this one, and the pastor took some water in his hand, and he said, "Peter, William, Walter, Elliot, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Now, many people, many of my friends even, they don't understand why that day is so special to me. But you see, on that day, I died. Not a death noticed by many, but you see, in my baptism, I was crucified with Christ. I was buried with Christ in the tomb, and I rose again with Christ. It was my Easter day. I have new life and salvation because I have been baptized. And so were you. You too have been buried with Christ and have new life found in him. Something else that the pastor said that day still has deep meaning for me. After I was baptized, he took me in his arms, and he said, "Receive the sign of the cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified one." You see, that pastor was confessing that something had changed. This child was now God's child. This child was now redeemed, and this child now has life. This child now has life in Christ. And you do too. Therefore, since we have been raised with Christ through our baptism, let us now set our hearts on things above, not lesser things. Let us set our minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. My wife and I, every night before we go to bed, we pray together, and we often say, "You have been baptized in Christ." We then make the sign of the cross on each other's forehead and upon each other's heart. I don't tell you that because I want you to be proud of me. I tell you that because it's one simple way to keep Christ in the forefront of our thinking, to continually set our hearts and our minds upon Christ. I can almost guarantee you that if you ask my wife, what's the favorite thing that we've done as a couple, she'll say praying together at bedtime. You see, in Christ, we find joy beyond measure. We find joy because we find life. We meet our Maker, our Creator, and our Redeemer. We find exactly where we were meant to be. Also, in Christ, setting our hearts and minds on Christ and turning away from those lesser things, we find a joyous life of service to our neighbors. Let me just read Colossians one more time to you before I finish. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then also you will appear with him in glory. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.